Prabhupada is saying, your transcendental words, he can very quickly be, dear Lord, words spoken by you or words describing your activities are full of nectar, and simply by speaking or hearing your words, one can be saved from the blazing fire of material existence. Great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are always engaged in chanting the glories of your words. They do so to eradicate the sinful activities of all living entities in the material world. If one simply tries to hear your transcendental words, he can very quickly be elevated to the platform of pious activities. For the Vaishnavas, your words give transcendental pleasure, and saintly persons who are engaged in distributing your transcendental message all over the world are first-class charitable persons. Then in bracket, Prabhupada wrote, this is confirmed by Rupa Goswami also when he addressed Lord Chaitanya as the most munificent incarnation, because Lord Chaitanya distributed the words of Krishna and love of Krishna free of charge all over the world. So actually these are the words of the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan. Actually, of all the devotees of Krishna, the devotees of Vrindavan are the highest. And of all the devotees of Vrindavan, these cowherd damsels are in the topmost position. They know Krishna in the best possible and the most intimate way, and their love for Krishna is of highest category. So they were searching for Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. And while searching for Krishna, they were offering these prayers, or they are speaking about Krishna in this way. And here they are saying that Tava Kathamritam, Krishna, the nectarian words about you, Tapto Jivanam, can deliver one from the forest fire of material existence. The nectarian words of Krishna can deliver us from the miserable condition that we are in. Actually, our existence in this material nature is very, very painful, very miserable. It is only due to illusion that one thinks that he is enjoying in this material nature. In the material nature, actually, everyone is suffering. But due to one's ignorance and due to being illusioned by the illusory energy of the Lord, one thinks that this material nature is a very wonderful place to be in. But the fact of the matter is, this material nature is like a forest fire. If one finds himself in the middle of a forest fire, will he consider that situation to be very pleasant? But only a fool will think that it's very nice to be in the middle of the forest fire. And in the forest fire, he tries to make some nice arrangement for himself. So the condition of the living entities in the material nature is something like that. They are in a very, very miserable condition, but they are trying to make a beautiful arrangement in here. And that is what is called the illusion. But those who realize that they are actually suffering in this material nature, for them, the mitigation of that suffering, deliverance from that miserable condition, is words about Krishna. When one hears about the glorification of Krishna, and when one hears about the instructions given by Krishna, then he becomes free from this miserable material condition. That's what these cowherd damsels, the gopis of Vrindavan, are saying. Tava kathamritam tapto jivanam. Your nectarian words are the means of deliverance from the miserable condition of this material nature. Kobibhi riritam, the great personalities have said that. This fact has been propounded by the great personalities, and they are engaged in chanting the glories of your words. Who actually chant the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The most elevated personalities. When one takes to chanting the holy name of the Lord, it is to be understood that he has reached the highest spiritual platform. Not only he is in the highest material platform, but he is actually situated on the highest spiritual platform. One on whose tongue the holy name of the Lord vibrates, it is to be understood that he has performed all different types of spiritual activities, and he has attained the perfection, spiritual perfection, the perfection of yoga. Those who chant the holy name of the Lord, they are not ordinary people. Therefore, those who have taken to chanting the holy name, they should be respected as the most elevated personalities. And these great personalities chant the holy name of the Lord, why? To eradicate the sinful activities of all living entities in the material world. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, all the sinful activities, the sinful reactions that are the cause of our suffering, become eradicated, become mitigated. For the Vaishnavas, if one simply tries to hear your transcendental words, he can very quickly be elevated to the platform of pious activities. Chanting the holy name of the Lord is the highest form of spiritual activity or pious activity. For the Vaishnavas, your words give transcendental pleasure, and saintly persons who are engaged in distributing your message all over the world are first-class charitable persons. Those who chant the holy name of the Lord, Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So those who chant the holy name of the Lord, and those who sing the glory of chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and those who urge others to chant the holy name of the Lord, it is to be understood that they are the most munificent personalities. They are the most benevolent personalities. They are the most charitable personalities. Because this is the highest gift that anyone can ever receive. This chanting of the holy, chanting the holy name of the Lord is the highest form of gift. Nothing can be compared to this holy name of the Lord. To give an example, Sanatan Goswami, one of the very intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How many of you know about Srila Sanatan Goswami? Please raise your hands. Okay. So Sanatan Goswami was a very intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatan Goswami used to reside in Vrindavan. On the bank of the Jamuna, he was staying at that time. And one poor man, poor Brahmana, came to Sanatan Goswami and started to tell him that, look, why God has put me in this poor and miserable condition. So Sanatan Goswami said, look, whatever Krishna does is for our benefit. So if Krishna made you poor, there must be some reason behind it. It is for your benefit. Then the man kept on complaining, no, 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 how can it be? I need money. Then Sanatan Goswami said, okay, if you want money, so you do one thing, don't blame the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he didn't give you money. Okay, if you want money, just go at the back of my hut. There's a garbage pile, and in the garbage pile you'll find there's a stone, and that stone is a touchstone. Now touchstone is a kind of a stone. You touch any metal with that stone and that metal will be converted into gold. Like iron will become gold. So he said, take that touchstone and how much money you want. So that Brahmana went and saw that yes, there was a garbage pile. And in the garbage pile he saw a very strange looking stone, and he picked it up and he was very excited. Now he's the richest man in the world. He got the touchstone. So he became so excited that he even forgot to thank Sanatan Goswami for the gift, and he picked up the stone and he ran for his house. Then on the way he just felt that what kind of wealth this devotee has, that this touchstone has become like a garbage to him. What kind of stone does he have? What kind of wealth does he have that even touchstone has become like a piece of junk, that he kept it in the garbage pile? So he became curious to find out. So he ran back to Sanatan Goswami and said, look, what kind of wealth do you have that this touchstone has become a piece of garbage to you? Then Sanatan Goswami said, yes, I have something. Compared to that, this touchstone is a piece of junk. Then he said, please tell me what is that, or please give that to me. Then Sanatana Goswami told him, yes, I'll give it to you. But then, first you have to throw this touchstone in Jamuna. So throw the touchstone to Jamuna and you come back to me, then I'll give it to you. So that Brahman was intelligent. So he just went to Jamuna, threw the stone, came back to Sanatan Goswami. And then Sanatan Goswami gave him Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is how precious this holy name of the Lord is. You take all the wealth of this world, put it in one side, and you put this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on the other side of the balance. Which side will become heavier? Hare Krishna. So this is how precious this holy name is. Now you can imagine one who gives this holy name, how merciful that person is. And he is giving it free. The devotees of the Lord do not ask for any money. In the mid-60s in America, giving mantra was a big business. Some people went from India and they were selling mantras. Some mantras were costing $50, some mantra $500, some mantras $5,000. But this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is free. Anybody can chant, and by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the holy name of the Lord, one can attain, one can receive the highest spiritual benefit. So that's what the gopis were singing, gopis were saying about Krishna. Krishna chanting the name of the Lord, chanting the glory of Krishna, and receiving the instructions of Krishna. And in order to distribute that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. In order to distribute that, Krishna came. Krishna became a devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead became a devotee of Krishna. Krishna himself came as a devotee and he started to distribute this Krishna prema, Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has identified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the most munificent. Why? Because he is distributing Krishna prema, Krishna, love of Krishna, without any discrimination. There is another incident pertaining to this particular verse. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, soon after taking his sannyas, King Pratap Rudra, the king of Orissa, wanted to have the audience of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wanted to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, the king appealed to different associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when they went and appealed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see the king. He said a king is a very materialistic person, and a sannyasi, a person in renounced order, should not have any dealings with a king. Because the association of materialistic people will affect his consciousness. A person in renounced order should be very careful not to become attached to materialistic way of life. A person in renounced order should guard himself against the allurements of the illusory energy of the Lord. That comes in the form of wealth and women. Now a king is naturally very much absorbed in wealth and women, not in normal condition. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want to see the king. Then the king kept on appealing, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was completely reluctant to see him. Then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate started to speak on behalf of the king, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very, very upset. He told them that, okay, if you want to carry on, if you want to stay with the king, you all stay with the king. I am leaving. So then everybody became very worried. They became afraid that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may leave Jagannath Puri. And they loved Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much that they could not bear to risk that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would leave. So they stopped urging Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from meeting the king. Then it was the time of Rath Jatra, the chariot festival of Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath was taken out of his temple and he was taken to a chariot, and the chariot was being dragged or pulled towards another temple called Gundicha temple. And on the way, the chariot stopped at a place called Balagandi, where Lord Jagannath receives all the offerings given to him by the devotees. Anybody can come and offer their offerings to Lord Jagannath. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was dancing in front of the chariot of the Lord, he was lying down under a tree in that garden. And at that time, King Pratap Rudra came in the guise of a simple village farmer. And he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and started to massage his feet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying, apparently exhausted from dancing in front of the chariot. And King Pratap Rudra, as an ordinary village person, came and started to massage his feet. And while massaging his feet, he started to recite one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that verse? Tavo katham rita tapta jivana kobi bhiririta kalmasha paha shravana mangala shrimadatata bhuvigrinanti jibhurida jana bhuvigrinanti jibhurida jana. So the last line, bhuvigrinanti jibhurida jana, what is the meaning? Do you remember? It means one who distributes this Krishna consciousness, he is the most charitable personality. He is the most munificent personality. Those who are preaching the glory of the Lord, they are the most benevolent person. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this verse, he jumped up and he started to say, Bhurida, Bhurida. Yes, the one who distributes Krishna consciousness, he is the most munificent personality. Saying that, he embraced King Pratap Rudra. The King Pratap Rudra, whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't even want to see, Here, just hearing this verse from his mouth, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. And King Prataprudra actually sang this verse. Why? Because he was revealing the identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna who came to give Krishna consciousness. So who is the most munificent personality? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that that's true. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out, yes, that's true. One who distributes Krishna consciousness is the most munificent personality. Now let us consider, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and distributed Krishna consciousness. But he did it only in India. 500 years back, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed Krishna consciousness only throughout India. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that this Krishna consciousness movement would be distributed or spread all over the world in every town and village, including Zurich. Now, who did it? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed only throughout India. But who distributed it all over the world? Prabhupada. So we can see who is the real Bhurida, who is the real munificent personality. Srila Prabhupada is this personality. It is due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy that Krishna consciousness is spreading all over the world. And as a result of that, what happened? For the people all over the world, the gate to the spiritual sky has become wide open. It was actually very difficult to go back to Godhead, go back to spiritual sky. But now, because of Srila Prabhupada, it has become very, very easy. All you have to do is just join ISKCON and follow, lead your life following Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And what are those instructions of Srila Prabhupada? It's very simple. Chant 16 rounds every day and follow the four regulative principles. Associate with the devotees and render devotional service through the temple. And we are seeing, although not many devotees have left their bodies, because most of the devotees are young. But we have seen that those who have left their bodies, devotees in ISKCON who left their bodies, there was a clear indication that they went back to Godhead. At the time of leaving their bodies, they were surrounded by devotees, they were chanting the holy name. I have seen even those who didn't live in the temple, but those who accepted the process of Krishna consciousness, they left their bodies in a very, very wonderful way. And it's a clear indication that they went back to Godhead. So, this is how Srila Prabhupada has benefited this world. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, this prayer, Tava Kathamritam Tapta Jivanam Kobibhiriritam Kalma Shapaham Shravana Mangalam Srimadatatam Bhubi Grinanti Je Bhuri Dajana actually applies to Srila Prabhupada. We can see that even the gopis were glorifying Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's wonderful followers, those who are spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world by distributing his books and spreading his mercy all over. There are many such wonderful Maharathis
of distributors in this room. Switzerland is very famous for book distribution, led by Maharathis like Harinamananda Prabhu and Navinanirada Prabhu. Many other devotees. And they are the real benefactors of this world. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes, yes. Navina.
Thank you. You were saying that the holy name does not cost anything. Yet although it does not cost anything, not very many are eager to get it. And there is still some sort of cost involved, like sincerity. And it seems that somehow this is too much to ask. People are ready to pay money, but they're not ready to pay the price of sincerity because they're afraid that they may lose their life, their material life. Could you say something?
Did you ever go to a madhouse? Okay, you can imagine. You go to a madhouse and give a diamond, a large piece of diamond, to a madman. What will he say? You'll say, why are you wasting your time and my time? Why are you giving me this piece of junk? Why are you giving me this broken piece of glass? Get out of here. Isn't it? Now this material nature is actually a madhouse. Most of the people are insane. They do not really know what they want. And their enjoyment, they're trying to enjoy, but their enjoyment is like camels eating thorn. You know, camel eats thorn. And the thorn cuts his tongue and palate. And he starts to bleed. And he gets the taste of his own blood and thinks, oh, how delicious these thorns are. So that is how people are absorbed in enjoyment in a material platform. They're just sucking their own blood and they're thinking, oh, how delicious it is, how relishable, how joyful it is. And there you come and go and tell them that, look, stop this self-torture. You are not enjoying, you are suffering. They don't want to listen to you. Even if you go and tell them, you know, they'll say, why are you speaking all this nonsense? You know, don't waste my time. So that is the situation. Therefore, the devotees who are real benefactors of the suffering humanity have to keep on trying again and again to bring the right consciousness, bring them back to the right consciousness. And today they may not understand, but tomorrow probably they'll be in a situation when they'll understand.
So since this whole material world is a madhouse, as you nicely described it, people in a madhouse think that everybody who's normal is actually crazy.
Yeah.
And right. They're looking at the devotees and saying, you people are nuts.
Right.
You're completely mad.
Exactly. Yeah.
And as more time goes on, it tries to become a recognized, established religion. They'll try to force us to cope with their principles of madness in an institutionalized way. And we can see how it is actually harming the preaching to a great extent. So what is the proper balance between that?
You see, there
because
are
still
two,
they should accept us.
There are two forces are in conflict. One is the divine force and the other is the demoniac force. Now, the divine force is led by the Lord Himself. So the demoniac force, now no matter how well organized and oppressive they may be, but they'll never be able to win over the divine force, the force that's led by the Lord Himself. And you see, the divine force has always been opposed by the demoniac force. But have they ever been able to conquer it? No. I can give an example. Say when Jesus came, the demoniac force got organized.
Right.
And they tried to get rid of him. They tried to crucify him. But did they succeed? Where is Herod and where is Pontius Pilate? Where is the Roman legion today? But Christianity, Jesus' teachings, spreading. And Jesus is still being glorified after 2,000 years. So those who fight for the Lord will never be defeated. No matter how organized the opposition is, no matter how powerful the opposition is, in due course of time, they will become powerless and they'll crumble. So therefore, those who are trying to rescue the victims of this madhouse should never be worried and they should never give up.
When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here, it seemed that it was so easy to get love of Godhead, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just dancing and he was just embracing one person and this person became mad in love of Godhead. So, but nowadays it's not so easy. So is it that the mercy of the Lord, he reduced or he's restrained his mercy to a certain extent?
Did everybody hear the question? At the back? Did you hear? Okay, everybody heard, yeah? I don't have to repeat the question. Okay. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is continuously flowing. But unfortunately, we are not able to receive the mercy ourselves. We are lacking. Those who were present during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time and those who received Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, they were very pure. Therefore, just a touch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or just once chanting the holy name, they immediately got the spiritual taste of ecstasy. But unfortunately, we have become so polluted, so contaminated, our consciousness has become so contaminated that it is not working. It's taking time. But doesn't matter, we keep on taking the medicine and it'll work in due course of time. Another consideration is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants this movement to spread all over the world, in every town and village. Therefore, if the devotees get absorbed in ecstasy, then they won't be able to preach.
Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is holding the ecstasy back for the time being. And that's why Prabhupada used to say, service now, samadhi later. Or service now, ecstasy later. So just keep on serving, keep on spreading Krishna consciousness, and in due course of time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will give the ecstasy. Because if we all become involved in ecstasy, I mean that kind of ecstasy, madness ecstasy, then will you be able to distribute books? Can you imagine Naveena getting ecstatic in the middle of the in the middle of his book distribution, throwing all the books that are chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol? Then who will distribute the books? Therefore we have to distribute the books now so that the books spread everywhere, and then as people will read the books, they'll become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And then when Harinamananda and Naveena Nirada Prabhu will see that the whole world has become submerged in Krishna consciousness, and then they'll start dancing like a madman, saying Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Yes.
And also preachers in ISKCON, the successful preachers, we can see that have a lot of revolutionary spirit, some kind of revolutionary spirit. So nowadays, as time goes on, we can see it goes a little down, the new generations, there's not so much a revolutionary spirit when they come to join the Krishna consciousness. Maybe you can explain why is it like this and
It's a very good point that you made, Harinamananda Prabhu. Your point actually answered your question. Or what you said actually has the answer. You see, revolution means movement, right? You said revolutionary spirit. And progress is synonymous to movement. Progress is not static. So if we want to progress, we just can't keep on doing the same thing. Right? We have to think of different ways and means of giving them Krishna prem, Krishna consciousness. Right? Say, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago, he was spreading Krishna consciousness just by singing and dancing. But, at this age, when Prabhupada came 500 years after, or 400 years after, and started to spread, how did Prabhupada do it? By writing books. Not the same way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. He gave the same thing, but in a different packet, which is conducive to the present time. Therefore, the preachers have to be in touch with reality and make the presentation according to the demand of the time, according to the need of the moment. So that's what you say, the revolutionary spirit. Where the revolutionary spirit is lacking, they are stagnating. And those who lead the revolution, they are the leaders. Therefore the leaders have to be revolutionary. Not in a negative sense, but in a positive sense. Hare Krishna. Yes?
Can I say something what's now appropriate for distributing Krishna consciousness? Because times are changing, as you say.
Well, the books, of course, is the basis, Srila Prabhupada pointed out. But personally, I saw that the books are not being read. Millions of books have gone out, but people are not joining. And
The reason is the people are not reading the books. So personally I felt, well, people are not reading the books because they don't have any time. Why they don't have the time? Because all the time is taken up by watching TVs. So that's why I decided to present Prabhupada's books through television and videos. So that's one step that I thought of taking. And I'm sure there are different devotees will think of different ways and means. In ISKCON, a lot of revolutionary ideas are going on. One is Varnashram, establishment of Varnashram system, social development. So this is how, actually this movement is meant to spread all over the world. And ISKCON is going to do it. It's going to happen through ISKCON. So through ISKCON, all kinds of wonderful things will happen. Another revolutionary idea is temple in Mayapur. It'll be such a wonderful structure that people from all over the world will come to see it. And when they see the temple, it'll simply blow their mind. And then they'll surrender. So in this way, all kinds of wonderful things are happening. So these are the need of the moment.
Lord Chaitanya, who was so merciful to the most sinful person like Jagannath and Madhav, why he didn't give the mercy? I mean, he didn't want to meet that Prataparga Maharaj because he was a devotee.
So why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who bestowed his mercy to most fallen people like Jagai and Madhai, did not bestow his mercy or didn't want to bestow his mercy to King Pratap Rudra? First point is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually did not deliver Jagai and Madhai. It is Nityananda Prabhu who delivered them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about to finish them. But Nityananda Prabhu pastimes. Pastime means a play on a stage. To teach some message, to convey some message to the people. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just performing his pastimes. Through these pastimes he is teaching us. What he is teaching? First teaching he gave is that those who are in the renounced order should not very intimately associate with materialistic people, especially wealthy people. Because the wealthy people's association can become contaminated. And the second aspect of his instruction is that when somebody is a devotee, whether he is rich or poor, it doesn't matter. Mahaprabhu is ready to give him his mercy.
You mentioned this morning about the eternal consort of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So could you tell something about her?
Eternal consort of Nityananda Prabhu. About whom did I say that?
I forget that.
Oh, Janava Devi. Janava Devi. Yeah, right. Yeah. You see, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has his eternal consorts. Just as Krishna and his consort is Radharani. Right? Narayan, his eternal consort is Lakshmi Devi. Ramchandra, his eternal consort is Sita Devi. So as the Lord expands himself, his eternal consort also expands. Like Krishna, Radha Krishna. Krishna becomes Ramchandra, Radharani becomes Sita Devi. Krishna becomes Narayan, Radharani becomes Lakshmi. Similarly, when Krishna becomes Nityananda Prabhu, actually Krishna becomes Balaram, then it is Revati. She is Radharani becomes Revati Devi. And then when Nityananda Prabhu becomes, Balaram becomes Nityananda Prabhu, Radharani becomes Janava Devi. So this is the meaning of eternal consort. I see. Nityananda Prabhu left home at the age of 12. When he was 12 years old, a sannyasi came and took him away. The sannyasi stayed in his father's house, and when he was leaving, so he asked his father, Nityananda Prabhu's father, Harai Pandit, asked him, what can I do for you? What can I offer you? So the sannyasi says, well, if you really want to offer me something, then give me a son. And Harai Pandit was so truthful that he said, okay, take him. But Nityananda Prabhu was so dear to him, Harai Pandit, that when Nityananda Prabhu left home with the sannyasi, in his separation he died. Calling out his name, he left his body. Then Nityananda Prabhu with the sannyasi traveled throughout India to all the places of pilgrimage. Then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to spread the holy name, he went to Gaya, took initiation, and he came back to Navadvip and he started his Sankirtan movement. At that time Nityananda Prabhu came and joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nityananda Prabhu, in a way, he was a renunciate. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to get married. So Nityananda Prabhu got married to these two sisters, Vasudha and Janava. Now Janava Devi was the daughter of Suryadas Sarkhel, Gauridas Pandit's associates, you can say. And anyway, so after Nityananda Prabhu left the planet, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the planet, main preaching work was done by Nityananda Prabhu, especially in Bengal area. But after Nityananda Prabhu left, then Janava Devi was doing the preaching. She became the leader of the Gauriya Vaishnav community. And she is a very powerful lady. I mean, naturally, she is Radharani's expansion. Right? I don't know the exact year, the time, but you see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left at the age of 48. Nityananda Prabhu was 12 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at that time, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, Nityananda Prabhu was 60 years old. Of course, Nityananda Prabhu, you have always seen, like he looks, you know, youthful, just a young boy, you know. Just like Krishna, even at the, when he was 120 years old, you know, he looked like a 16-year-old boy. Similarly, Nityananda Prabhu also. So, after that, about 10-15 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, Nityananda Prabhu preached. But then, Janava Devi, Janava Mata carried on the preaching. And at that time, soon after Janava Mata's time, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya and Shyamananda Prabhu, they continued the preaching. So the next generation was these three Acharyas, Srinivas, Narottam, Shyamananda. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.